You are listening to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast, where we talk real life, answer questions, and take a deeper practical look at the topics we talk about on a Sunday morning. To learn more about Sunnybrook Church, including our Sunday gathering times and opportunities throughout the week, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org. Today, we are talking with Pastor Jeff Mose.
Well, welcome back to the Sunnybrook Unscripted podcast. I'm Pastor Jeff, playing Lydia's role this morning. I'm the question asker, and I have my friend here with me, Andre Mubarak. And Andre, many of you know, has made his way from Israel. He's spending some time here in the United States doing some teaching while the war is going on in there. I had an opportunity to introduce him this past Sunday. Some of you came to some of the lectures that he gave immediately following. There'll be another one this Sunday. But Andre, you know, is an ordained pastor. He's a Bible teacher. He's an author of a couple of books. He's certainly a Palestinian Christian. He's walking through all that's going on in Israel right now. And we're just delighted to have him as he makes his way through the United States and teaches at some different churches. But I want him to just spend some time for a moment, just kind of introducing yourself. Andre, tell us a little bit about your family. Tell us about your wife, your brother, your ministry together. But just give us some inside understanding as to who Andre is.
Yes, I'm a Palestinian, indigenous, Maronite, Aramaic, Christian with an Israeli passport. And I have a twin brother. His name is Tony. And we are identical twins, a mirror image. And this is...
Yes, you are.
And I'm married. My wife, her name is Marie. And actually, she's an American. She is from USA. And I'm an author. I'm a writer. And I'm also... indigenous Aramaic-speaking Christian and the co-founder of Twins Tours and Travel.
And how many years have you been doing tours of Israel?
I've been doing this actually officially for 20 years, but unofficially since I was a kid, 8-7 years old, in the streets of the old city of Jerusalem. Me and my twin will be playing hide-and-seek nearby pillars from 4th, 7th century. And there's a lot of tourists coming and asking us many questions.
Yeah, and asking you directions probably, huh?
Yeah. Mostly Americans were more adventurous and they get lost in the streets. So
I've been one of those lost tourists before. I recognize that. And often it costs you a little bit of money to find your way around to the old city. But Andre has been our tour guide. I think we've been going with you 6, maybe 7, 8 years. We've been taking groups. Some years we've done 2 groups a year. Most recently, we were just set up to go with Andre to Israel, and before the war broke out, and then we hadn't had opportunity, we had to cancel all of that, and we're hoping very soon we're going to be able to do so again. You mentioned the fact that you're a Palestinian Christian, that you grew up kind of in the old city along the Via Dolorosa. Tell us a little bit about what that's like. First of all, give us some inside understanding. What's the Via Dolorosa? What's the way of suffering and the station of the cross and what one you were at, and just give us some insight as to what it was like to grow up at the old city of Jerusalem.
What's make it different is that you meet people from all over the world coming to do the stations of the cross. And it happened that my home is on station 8. And people, you know, the Via Dolorosa is where Jesus went all the way from condemnation condemnation to Calvary to resurrection. There are 14 stations, and many groups come and do these stations of the cross. And they do prayers, and many, even Catholic groups, come and focus into suffering. And a lot of evangelical groups come and do the station of the cross and focus only in resurrection. So as a happy boy being there, I saw, we need the balance here. So it was seeing the world coming to do the stations of the cross. Because we need the suffering and we need the resurrection. But not only suffering and only resurrection.
Amen. You know what's interesting for me is the station of the cross is kind of in the old city of Jerusalem, and it's very crowded. Whenever you walk through there, there's usually crowds of people. And I notice the homes, they're a little bit different, but they're very close together. So my guess is growing up, you could hear your neighbors pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. No privacy, Pastor Jeff. No privacy. Because after I got married, I lived 31 years in the old city.
31 years, yeah.
And after I got married, I had to move out of the old city.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fascinating place. If you've never been there before, I really hope everybody has an opportunity to do so. But obviously, you mentioned the fact that not only you're a Palestinian, but you're a Christian. And To share with us a little bit your testimony, you know, Beth and I followed you to Naples, Florida, kind of in the south there, and we heard your testimony. It was the first time, even though I traveled with you for several years, that was really the first time I got to hear your testimony of faith and how God called you into ministry. Do you mind just sharing with us a little bit of kind of a neat story of what God did to draw you closer to Him and call you to ministry?
Sure, especially growing on the streets of Jerusalem as an Aramaic Christian, we have to go to a Catholic school. And once I heard at school one of my friends saying that Jesus was a Jew, I was like thinking Jesus was an Aramaic priest. This is what the priest was telling me. So I ran away from school all the way home, asked my dad, was Jesus a Jew? My dad was reclining on his chair. He was a big guy like you, and he was a policeman in Israel.
Muscular.
Yes, strong and very confident. And I told him, was Jesus a Jew? He opened his eyes, and he said yes and closed his eyes. I was like, how come Jesus was Jew? Why you didn't tell me before? So from that moment, I decided to understand more about Jesus as a Jew. So then we went to university. And in the university, I found a bunch of students. They were happy all the time. And that was during the first Intifada, 1987. And we have wars all the time.
Yeah, just because you use that phrase for a minute so that listeners can understand. Intifada, uprising. Tell us a little bit about what an Intifada is.
It's riots because we have two people groups. We have Muslims and we have Jews. And there has been a lot of tension between the two people. And that at the university, it was oppressive and very dark. And I was depressed. And then I see a bunch of students. They're happy all the time. And by the way, they were from Gaza. Mm. And I had the courage to approach them. Why you're so happy? Why, like, there's something more than that? They said, we're Christians. I said, I'm a Christian too, but not happy like this. Tell me more. And they told me, you have to accept Jesus into your life and allow him to come into your heart. And I repeated the sentences after them, and immediately I felt the peace of God in my life, and everything made sense to me. Since I was a kid, learning the different languages and understanding Jesus more in a deeper personal way.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to share this or not, Andre, but then there came kind of a crisis in your life that really catapulted you into ministry, correct?
Yeah, there is a milestone in my life because I was growing as a believer and not very strong or very firm believer. And during the second Intifada, the second riot was worse than the first Intifada. It started from year 2000. There were the bomb attacks. And once I was in 2001, it was Saturday in the evening. I was in downtown with my friend, and I had a gut feeling there's something wrong gonna happen. And then I didn't know what was it. You know, when sometimes you go to a place, you don't feel well in your spirit. And then I had a voice coming to my ear whispering, Andrea, move right now. I didn't listen. The same voice came and I can order, Andrea, move right now. I didn't listen. And I felt someone pushing me. I thought my friend is pushing me. I looked back, he's following me. And then after 5 seconds almost, a bomb attack took place. And that moment, I knew I had a calling on my life. I knew that God saved me for a reason, and it was the Holy Spirit, and I became a very strong Christian.
Wow. That's a powerful story. Every time I hear that story, I'm just amazed as to what God did, not only to spare you, but then to use that incident in your life to draw you closer to Him. That's good stuff. Give me a little bit of this. Since you're our tour guide and you've been taking groups for years, I don't know if you feel this way, but I love seeing sort of Scripture come alive. And I, even though I've been there several times now with you, it's fascinating every time as we go with a new group to just sort of see it through their eyes. So give me a little bit. What's your greatest joy as a tour guide? You've been doing this for a lot of years. You've been showing people the sights, but what still brings you great joy in this ministry?
What's bringing me great joy is I believe that every Christian, every believer, they need to come to the Holy Land, to Israel. Because not only the Bible come alive, these stories will make more sense. Like when you open the Bible and you teach the Bible, and then they see the sight, and then they smell, and then everything come alive. Their faith will become real. and they will understand the pages of the Bible in a deeper way. And that brings us joy.
Yeah, and I said this to you last Sunday, Andre, but I think even in Sunnybrook Community Church, the more people have gone, it causes spiritual growth. They study the scriptures. Once spiritual growth happens, people get more plugged into the church and ministry and small groups. They worship better. They serve better. They get involved in ministry. And it's just had a real impact on our people's lives. So I just want to publicly say thanks to you for your ministry, because it's raised the spiritual temperature here, even at Sunnybrook Community Church. And I want to draw this session to a close a little bit now, but just to remind you, Andre's going to be speaking again this week, and he has a website that you can get all of his teaching at. If you go to Twins Tours, that's plural, twinstours.com, you'll get all of his teaching. And he's put all of that in kind of a format that people can listen to, classwork, those kinds of things. For a small fee, you can become a member of this and get all of his teaching, but it's excellent stuff, and I really hope people will take a look at it and see what it has to offer. But thanks again for joining us. We're going to do a second part of this and want to have an opportunity to interview Andre further, but thanks for joining us.
If you were encouraged by today's talk, be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcast. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at sunnybrookchurch.org or download the Sunnybrook Church app. And again, thanks for listening to the Sunnybrook Community Church podcast.